question to the guy there with the white shirt with the badges. What did the Viet Cong do when they caught a man that had a badge, or they came across him?
The question is, what did the VC do when they came across a member of Mike Shepard's battalion who had a SATCOM badge?
That's a good question. I'm afraid you'd have to ask them. But I would imagine, as you can assume, that would anger them somewhat, that they can see that he had this thing that represented a life of one of their comrades, just as if he were wearing a badge saying that he had killed an American, I imagine would have upset you. So I don't know if he would be treated too kindly, but I don't ever recall that situation.
Frank, perhaps we better also ask how you came by the badge itself.
Well, this is, I have sticky fingers by nature, and so I confiscated this from the battalion headquarters. This is an unauthorized badge, by the way, so no commander has the authority to create this, so I'll pay the government back their 11 cents anytime they're ready.
Yeah, please clarify something for me. You take a GI who is a civilian.
Talk louder.
We'll repeat
the question, don't worry.
You take a GI who, as a civilian, is indoctrinated that the people of Vietnam are human beings, that they have certain rights, and that we are fighting to protect them and defend their rights. You take the GI, you train him to kill, and you train him that this same person that he was indoctrinated as being a human being is no longer a human being, and you kill him. What keeps a GI, what keeps his morale up to justify his existence there, or a U.S. existence there?
Okay, the question is, how does a GI who has been trained through his life to believe that the Vietnamese are people and that we're defending their freedom and all this other bullshit the government puts out, how do you take him and turn him into a killer, and how does he justify that? Well, I can answer for myself. First of all, you're never really taught that the Vietnamese are human beings, not in the army or not out. It's a whole racist policy of the government. You're not taught that blacks are human beings. You're not taught that Indians are human beings. You're not taught that Vietnamese are human beings. You're not taught that anybody except a white American is a human being. And this is basically what happens. And so when you get into the army, all they have to really do is teach you how to use a gun.
It could be probably answered very simply. The quickest answer, which I think would be the most truthful, is how many Japs did John Wayne kill last night?
I think there was one more question.
Is there any way of determining what percentage of the body count actually is represents body count?
The question is, what percentage of the body count actually represents actual bodies? Is that what you're asking? Would anybody like to take that?
Like, they used to report body counts, and after H&Is or after a battle or something like that, and if there was movement, say, it looked like in the starlight scope that there was maybe 10 people moving, and so we'd fire out there, and then if there wasn't any movement, then we'd say, okay, we got 10. Or something like that, and like this would just add up, you know, to say each night or from each battalion, brigade, added up through those numbers, and you'd end up like getting maybe 40 to 50 body count per day, something like that, just in this method without sometimes ever seeing any bodies, just by stopping movement.
I'd like to answer that also. In my unit, I was with the 1st of the 26th Infantry, 1st Infantry Division, and in the entire year I was there, my platoon actually killed maybe 5 VC, and we turned in a body count of close to 100 for my platoon alone. And I know the other platoons were doing the same thing. So that's how accurate it is.
I think in my time in the line and in Vietnam, I saw in a combat situation maybe 35 dead enemy.
WBAI New York.
Before I left the battalion, the body count was started, it was a seven month period, it was 1,200.
Information about falsification of Americans who have been killed in the Vietnamese conflict since possibly 1964, and any related information any of you members of the panel might have about a true number of Americans that have been killed in this conflict, and also any specific instances or anything, any related information in this area?
I believe the question was, do any members of the panel have any information on lowering of American body count? In other words, covering up how many are truly dead. I know this question was got into quite a bit this morning with the airborne units. Okay.
I know of one instance. There's been a lot of discussion on it. And as of yet, there's been, we haven't been able to prove anything about this, but there was one battle, and I think we fought for about a day, it seemed to me. And I think there, I was told that we lost a company of men. And it was never reported back here in the States. There was never any report of it. Kind of seems strange to me, you know. So that's about the only thing I can say to that.
Do you have any idea about what the total number of American killed? You know, the figure is popularly around 50,000.
I don't know. I really don't. I can't tell you for sure.
Yes.
When I was in Vietnam, there were 11 support people for one every infantryman over there. And the casualty rate was running, I'd say, just from my own experience, like 5 to 1, 5 infantry people for every one support person. And when you get blanket statistics on your local news in black letters and you see 800 Americans dead, you're thinking in terms of 500,000 GIs. And that's not the way it is. You've got to divide that number by 11. And then subtract a few. The infantry people, well, I remember when it was de-escalated, one of many times. And my mother wrote to me, you know, how good it was becoming. Well, they don't report by division or by brigade. You can't check. Now, I'm sure the Army wouldn't falsify people, KIAs. But they might spread it over a month or something. Like, it doesn't really matter to you if your son dies, you know, last Thursday or the week before. The only point is you're going to get your letters back that you wrote them. They'll make sure of that. And you'll get a flag, you know, and an honor guard, and more than likely a silver star or a bronze star. It all depends what his rank was. It's pretty cold-blooded, I mean, the whole thing. You've just got to accept that. And I imagine, you know, I imagine they're telling you how many people are really dead, but I'm sure they're not telling you, like, in a meaningful way, who is dying. Like, there are shifts, too. Like, when I was in the 9th Division, we got some people from I Corps because they weren't having much contact. They put them down in the Delta, in the 9th Division. You don't hear about that either, you know.
I think we best be moving on. I think what we're trying to say is, okay, the total number which is reported may be correct. I would have my doubts on that. It's too easy to mail out 400 letters saying your son died and report 200 in the press. But we must be moving on. Carl, you have a number of slides, again, would you care to go through them and number 3 through 7 and talk about them.
Do you want to go through, do you want me to talk about each one and then we'll wrap later?
Yeah, I think that'd be best.
Okay.
Could we have the rest of the house lights down, please?
This first slide here shows a prisoner of war. He was being interrogated. And the way that they tried to get him to talk is by making him stand in front of a pile of Viet Cong bodies that we had picked up and stare at him. You go on to the next one. It's the same POW was forced to sit for probably from 6 to 8 hours by this pile of bodies in the hot sun.
Carl, how long were those bodies, had they been there? One day or
Yes,
hours?
They were killed approximately 3 in the morning, and they weren't taken away until about 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
I see.
This is a shot. I think this will go in, be more helpful in what we're going to go into later. It's a shot of 5 or 6 GIs going through the bodies looking for souvenirs. In this picture, there's a lieutenant and a captain overlooking what's going on. We have the next one. This was earlier in the day, this fellow here, he could not speak Vietnamese. Periodically, he would walk up to the prisoners and hit them. A few times he kicked them. This went on quite a while until they moved these two young kids here into the pile of bodies. This is a shot of our interrogator. He took his M16. The M16 has an open flash suppressor at the end. It's got 3 prongs, which are about 1/2 inch long. He took them and forced them into this prisoner's nose, and he twisted them. It's extremely painful.
Okay, I believe that's the last slide. Earlier you said something about these people going into the bodies, into being forced to sit by them. Is that what you meant?
Right. We took our POWs and forced them to sit and look at the bodies, and this went on for hours.
Officers were present at all times.
Yes, field grade officers were present all day long. They were flying in and out. This was a major firefight.
Right.
This happened on June 19th, 1967.
Okay, for the benefit of people who don't know the military, field grade is major and above. What was their attitude?
Nobody seemed to care. It was just another thing. They're extremely happy that we had a body count and things like this went on. That's how they got their medals. And I might add that some of the officers, after this firefight, received medals for flying over in a helicopter. Bronze Stars and Silver Stars, medals of this type, they were nowhere near. During the firefight, they're nowhere near the area. They received medals anyway.
Was this one isolated incident, or did this happen numerous times?
No, this happened often. Any time that we had, any time we seen any action, things like this went on.
Okay. Mark, I believe you have something to say about mistreatment of prisoners.
Right, well, as has been mentioned before, making the prisoners extremely uncomfortable was just sort of the accepted rule. But we were on an operation in the early part of 69 where we encountered 3 VC. Well, one was KIA. He was, killed in the contact. Another was wounded. and his wound was too serious to be treated by the medic, but not too serious where he'd have died if, you know, we could have got him dusted off. Well, as he was laying there, the medic said, "I can't do anything for him, we're gonna need a dust off." Well, apparently the commanding officer decided that a dust off wasn't necessary and had one of the Chuhoys, or one of our Tiger Scouts, who is of Vietnamese, interrogate the man. Well, he was laying on the ground on his back and apparently was in shock. The Tiger Scout muttered a few words in Vietnamese and then shot him through the joint of the elbow. And it was a grotesque scene. You know, his arm just sort of flopped around on the ground, and he had to be in shock because there was no expression of pain. He had no expression on his face at all. And this went on, he shot him a few more times, and then eventually he just put the muzzle of his weapon to his head and blew him away. And I don't believe that the Geneva Convention calls for this in as fair treatment of prisoners.
Bill Rice.
Right, we had very little contact with prisoners. Actually, our company never ran into too many of them. On occasions, we take detainees, whether they were Viet Cong or not, was not determined at the time, but officers would take them and with the Tiger Scout perform interrogations, you know, field interrogations, sometimes include beatings. Other times, a favorite trick, especially in the Delta, was where you have a lot of water and everything, just take them down the water and give them a dunking a few times until he starts talking. Just hold him down longer each time until he talks. And that was in the main way to get information from people. Now, these were not confirmed VC. These could have been civilians or what, because a lot of them were shipped out on a helicopter later on to detainee centers. We're not confirmed VC.
We were talking earlier about a quote-unquote VC who had been wounded. Do you want to try and relate the story as best you can?
Right. Our company was sweeping, I think it was northeast of the city of Jean Trom, Jean Trom district in Kamwa province. And we come across this paddy. Our point element broke into this paddy, and it was being worked by the farmers. There was old men and women with water buffalo, children working the field. They commenced to yell in La De, which means come here in Vietnamese, and the people started running when they saw the Americans. This time, someone noticed a young man, approximately military age, taken off down a paddy dike. So the point element opened up on him and finally brought him down. He received a gunshot wound in the head.
May I ask, was he carrying a weapon?
No, he was not. The only thing he had was a transistor radio.
Okay.
We come up to him and found the transistor radio. I do not know whether he had an ID card or not. Our medic went up to him and started treating him. At this time, we were ordered on up the road. I got about 10 feet up the road. The medic walked by. Another member of my platoon said one of the sergeants just slit his throat. This was the person that was being treated.
Okay. This again is almost hearsay evidence, but the medic did leave the body. Did you stay there or what?
No, the medic left the body. We left the body laying on the dike and commenced going on.
So in other words, the person was abandoned even if his throat was not slit.
This is true.
Me yesterday about a POW compound. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, just vaguely. I saw it only once. We usually didn't keep any prisoners in a support outfit. They set one up for a while and transported him in. I was there very early in 1966. But I only saw one incident where prisoners would try to put their fingers through the wire, you know, just, you know, something anybody would do, you know, if you put your fingers through, and the guys would take butts of their rifle and smash them, you know, just like you see in the movie, just like John Wayne did again. That's probably the only incident I could recall. I saw one beating at the same time. But I don't know any details about it. I just saw the physical aspects of this beating.
Okay, this POW compound, was it just a wired-in area without any shelter at all?
Yes. I think it was temporary. I don't think they were supposed to be kept there. I don't know how long it existed. I only saw it once.
Bill Rice, can I ask you one more question on that one incident of the either farmer or VC, one of the two, whichever it was reported as? Was there an officer present with your group?
Yes, it was a company operation. We had lieutenants and a captain.
I see. Thank you. John Henry, you and I talked a bit about interrogation of prisoners. Do you want to go into that, please?
But all I can say is that what they say about the Paddies, you know, when he was talking about holding people down underwater until they talked, I've seen that. I've seen Lerps interrogate prisoners and knock out teeth and then hold them underground, and underwater. But other than that, cuff them around a little bit, but pretty soon a chopper comes in and takes them to, you know, wherever final disposition about them is made. But the point is, you don't know if these people are VC or just civilians. And you're so indoctrinated that women and children are a lot of times a lot more dangerous than old men and old women, which is why I think so many women and children get killed, just because of the poop that's handed down when you first get to country. You know, I don't know.
Mike Farrell. We also talked about this a little bit. You mentioned one instance of a sergeant working with a POW. Would you like to talk about it?
I saw, well, I didn't see this. This is again alleged, here's another incident, I'm sorry. We were out in the field and we came across a woman, and we were in a hooch. She was by herself, and it was an older woman, and she didn't want to leave her house, and they wanted to take her with us, you know, to detain her. Now, she's treated in a very humiliating manner. I mean, she's drugged by a GI, and her blouse was ripped open. Now, she wasn't wearing anything underneath this blouse, and one person went up there and made an attempt to cover her up. But then as they were crossing a bridge, the woman jumped, it was right on the edge of a mangrove swamp, and there was a stream there, and they're crossing a bridge, and the woman jumped into the water, and she's never seen again. Nobody in our unit ever saw her again. So she could have drowned, she could have swam underwater, she could have gone anywhere. And it was just, what happened to her? She jumped in the water. Well, where'd she go? I don't know. I didn't see where she went, or she never came up. And that was just it.
Right.
And there's another situation, but that I mentioned before, but I did not witness that one.
Okay. Barry? We were talking about earlier also about an operation your unit went on where quite a few prisoners were mistreated.
Yes, I think it was in April. I don't remember the province. It was pretty close to our firebase Moore, and they reported that they had seen six VC, so they eagle flighted us in there, and we started coming in on these hooches, and it was wide open. There was a lot of hooches, and we started going to each one, and there was about five or six VC in each one. They was all real young, about 18, 19 years old. And we got 32 prisoners, and they reported that there was that many and just a few more that was killed by the helicopters and our own men. And I think they divided those up so we could have those evenly. And while they was doing this, a major, they called up, and there was more VC there than what they'd thought. And the major come in, and he was witnessing this. And I witnessed one of my friends, there wasn't any weapons. I think they came up with three at the last. And one of my friends, he was chasing this one kid, and he stabbed him, and the kid just didn't want to die, and so he took him in the moat and drowned him. And it took a long time to drown him because the kid just didn't want to die. And I couldn't really dig going out and walking all that ways and bringing in all these prisoners like these other guys. So I just stuck around where the major was helping tag all the prisoners that they brought up here. And like we used wire and string, just anything we get with these tags, wrote a number on it and tied it around their neck to tag them. And the only thing that, we had six women that we brought in, and some of my friends, like they were really messing around with these women. And when they jumped off the helicopter, when we brought them into camp, there was some newsmen there. And they was filming this, and there was a bunch of lifers there, and they'd seen him, like when he jumped off, he was really kind of messing around with her quite a bit. And he'd been kicked out of this other company already, so, and they just wanted to kick him out of the 9th Division. And I don't know what become of that, but like they got him out of our company and put him in this other unit. He was still in the 9th Division. We'd seen him.
Barry, that incident was okay before. On the operation Bring Them Back, there was quite a bit of mistreatment. But unfortunately, your friend, when they did get back, mistreated a prisoner in front of newsmen's cameras, right?
Yes, to me, this was sort of just like Milai, that he was caught. And for that, he was prosecuted. There was a lot of mistreatment. And
he was the only one.
We stood there and watched these leeches on these people's back, like they would suck out enough blood and they would be about 5 inches long, and these young guys would just like fall over, and nothing was done.
No medical attention was given to them?
None at all. And the major was standing right there, and he observed us tying these tags around their neck, and a lot of the mishandling of the women and the young men.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we're really running short of time, so we're going to have to cut this short right here. Are there any questions on treatment of POWs?
Yes, I'd like to know. Now, you said, you know, when this guy was caught, he was, he was shipped out or something like this. At any other time, was there any reprimandation for mistreatment of prisoners? Who was it done by, and what type would it be? Could I have any?
Okay, the question, as I understand it, was that this one person was given quite a bit of flack for mishandling of prisoners, which was in front of cameras. And the question is, at any other time, did anybody in your unit, Barry, did they receive any flack for mistreatment of prisoners?
No, this man was the only one that I can recall, and I don't think it ever got out of our battalion. Well, I think it's like our fire base, the colonel and the major, they worked it out, and like his papers were drawn up and he was just sent to another company. He was still in the 9th Division, but other than that, nothing else was done to him. They just wanted to get him out of the...
It's kind of a rampant depersonalization of humanity, nothing, man.
Yeah.
Okay, question? Yes, sir.
I have two questions. What exactly is a dust-off, and what would they do with the bodies of the dead DC?
Okay, the first question is, what's a dust-off? A dust-off is a medevac. It's a chopper which comes in, helicopter, which comes in to rescue, not exactly rescue, to pick up wounded personnel and to take them back to back areas for treatment. What was your second question?
What do they do with the dead bodies of DC? What kind of burial do they do?
Okay, what do they do with dead bodies of DC? Okay, what does the trash man have to say?
They just leave them there, and they rot, and then the people come and bury them, the same people who rebuild all the bunkers that we blow up.
I think this is a perfect lead-in to our next session. Basically, what has Vietnam done to ourselves? Carl, you have another picture, and I think that it's very applicable.
Don't turn it on yet. I want to say something about it. And the next slide is a slide of myself. I'm extremely shameful of it. I'm going to show it to you. so you can see the sadistic state of mind that my government put me into. I'm showing it in hopes that none of you people that have never been involved ever let this happen to you. Don't ever let your government do this to you. Okay.
You want to explain it a bit, Charles?
It's me.